Hello everyone, and thank you for joining today's webinar, Hadoop Without Borders, Learn to Build Hybrid Big Data Analytics Pipelines with Azure Data Factory. Our presenters for today are Hiren Shah and Anand Subbaraj, both of whom are principal program. Managers at Microsoft. Before we begin, I'd like to cover a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will run about an hour. The webinar is being recorded and will be available on demand within 48 hours. A copy of today's presentation and recording link will be sent to you via email once these files are available. If you have any questions during the webcast, please enter your question in the Q&A widget on the left of your screen and click submit. We'll try and get through as many questions as we can during the live broadcast. Without further ado, I'd like to turn the presentation over to Hiren. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rahi. Welcome, everyone. As Rahi mentioned, today we'll talk about connecting your on-premises Hadoop to Hadoop in the cloud and build hybrid data flows with Data Factory. And the way we are going to do that is we are going to show you a journey we took with one of our customers, and we'll learn about the pattern by following this customer story. So first off, I want to start by showing you a video that our customer put together explaining what they are building.
The U.S. healthcare system is challenged by the task to deliver exceptional, personalized care at a lower cost. Despite spending nearly one-fifth of our gross domestic product on healthcare, we struggle to meet this goal. Financial pressures on care providers are increasing. This isn't sustainable. So how can we deliver high-quality, personalized care that patients deserve, given the cost pressures we face? At Dartmouth-Hitchcock, we've created ImagineCare, a new cloud-based solution built on Cortana Analytics Suite and Microsoft Dynamics that enables providers to help patients achieve better health. With the help of Microsoft, Dartmouth-Hitchcock is building a technology platform to serve healthcare organizations and patients across the country, setting a new standard for personalized care. Now, using machine intelligence, providers can develop a care plan that's unique to each patient. We can monitor patients from their homes, where data is collected from devices and sent to the cloud, to ImagineCare's 24/7 contact center, where registered nurses continually monitor a patient's health status and potentially serious trends.
Cortana, summarize health status for Ben Andrews.
Ben Andrews' weight has increased more than 2 pounds in the last 24 hours. Please review the home diuresis protocol prescribed by Dr. Phillips.
Patients get reminders and encouragement and dynamic updates to their care plans, improving their health, helping them avoid unnecessary trips to the emergency room, and reducing the cost of care. With support from loved ones and real-time interventions, there is less likelihood of readmission. With Cortana Analytics Suite and Microsoft Dynamics, we're transforming the way healthcare is delivered today, improving patient outcomes, reducing costs, and offering an unprecedented level of personalized care.
I love that video. So let's look at the ImagineCare application that we just saw in the video a little bit closer. So I'm just going to share my screen, and it takes a little bit of time for it to start showing. So hopefully you're now seeing my screen. So I'm now showing the ImagineCare application that Dartmouth-Hitchcock built using Cortana Intelligence. Dartmouth-Hitchcock is a medical center based out of New Hampshire, and they came to us and they wanted to combine data about patients from a variety of sources, the way you saw in the video, and they wanted to build a model that assesses the risk of the patient of getting the patient readmitted to one of their hospitals or clinics once they have left the hospital. If they can predict readmission rate, their hope was they can intervene before that and suggest remedies and reduce the readmission rate. So this is a demo version of the application. The patient data here, the patient identity is synthetic for privacy reason, but the underlying patient data is real. So on the left, you see different clinic location and the distribution of the patients and the risk levels around different clinics. On the right, you see a list of the patients and their predicted readmission rate by the system. You also see whether they are severe or they are doing relatively okay. The severe patients tend to bubble up. So let's look at one of the patients, Ben Andrews. So when you click on Ben's profile page, what you see here on left is it tells us that Ben has a known condition, a heart condition. Ben is a 65-year-old male. He's a senior citizen. And these two together, Ben's profile, puts him in a specific risk group, which is senior citizens with heart condition. That's a high risk group, as opposed to some other risk groups like a young patient with relatively no known medical history. So what we can do if we know this risk group for the patient, then compare their vitals, like their heart rate, weight, and blood pressure information compared to the baseline for that risk group. We also see information about clinic visit and lab exams, the measurements that were taken at the last clinic visit. Over here, we see the blood pressure, and as you can see, we are comparing the blood pressure rate with the what's the expected range for the risk group that Ben belongs in. And that's what is driving these risk indicators, whether the blood pressure, weight, mood, and sleep are out of order or not. You can collect real-time measurements from personal devices like fitness devices or heart rate monitors or smart scales, and you can ingest that data at scale in the cloud, and then you can marry it with sort of profile data and the clinic visit data. And that's what Dartmouth Hitchcock did. They built a 360-degree view of the patient, combining all these different data sources, and then they applied machine learning intelligence in the cloud to predict the risk rate. Now, one challenge here is, as you can see, there is some privacy PII information about the patient's identity as well as the health reports information. So we will now kind of understand how the system was built behind the scenes and understand how we can manage these different data streams. Anand will help us understand how this system was built, and he will take us through solving the Dartmouth Hitchcock problem. So over to you, Anand.
Thanks, Arain. So let's start by looking at the hybrid Hadoop patterns and scenarios. I've been working at Microsoft with the data platform group for about 7 years, and one of the good things about our role in Microsoft is that we get to work very closely with customers and partners, understanding their scenarios and requirements. And over the last few years, we have seen the data platform and data analytics go through a huge fundamental shift. With the evolution of big data and Internet of Things, organizations are dealing with different set of tools and different set of patterns to address their business requirements and stay competitive. And one of the other patterns that we are seeing now is that more and more customers are receptive to cloud computing. And these customers, they fall under two broader categories. There is one which are large Fortune 500 organizations who have huge investments on premises and they are now looking at leveraging cloud for migrating or modernizing some of their newer workloads. And then we have the modern companies who are essentially cloud-born, but they are looking into leveraging on-premises for addressing data sensitivity, governance, and regulatory requirements. Now, Microsoft, together with Hortonworks, have created this environment across on-premises and cloud, which is 100% interoperable. These are not considered as two different systems, but systems that complement each other, allowing customers to address a wide range of different scenarios, use cases, and requirements. And these scenarios, we kind of classify them into three major categories. That's what you see in this slide. Number one, it's backup archive for disaster planning. Number two is application development and proof of concept. And last but not the least, we have bursting for handling peaks and spikes. What we are going to do in the next few slides is to dig deeper into each one of these scenarios. Let's start by looking into the backup archive scenario. Now, data architects are considering the Hadoop infrastructure just like any other systems in the data center. And they want to have an ongoing replication for business continuity planning and disaster recovery. And in a lot of organizations, what we have seen is that they have stringent policies requiring them to store data or historical data up to N months or N years. And in both these scenarios, organizations are leveraging hybrid Hadoop to minimize cost and reduce operational overhead. Moving on. The next scenario is application development and POC, and this is a very interesting scenario. We are seeing a lot of organizations who are constantly experimenting with newer data sets and newer applications that work on existing systems. Cloud enables these organizations a cost-effective way to provision these development environments and manage multiple of these instances. It allows organizations faster time to value and also agility to build, measure, and learn before they can integrate the data sets and applications with the production environment. Cloud also enables organizations easier way to get data from external sources for proof of concept. And this is a pattern that we are seeing a lot recently, where organizations want to leverage machine learning and advanced analytics capabilities in the cloud. And they are trying to create these environments so that the data scientists and data integrators can experiment, create models, and also create modern integration workflows to address a newer set of scenarios and requirements. These cannot run against production systems because this could generate significant load, impacting production SLAs. So organizations are able to leverage a hybrid environment, create these environments quickly, load the data, and provide the playground required for data scientists and data integrators to address a wide range of different scenarios and use cases. We kind of consider this as low risk and controlled manner of keeping your production environment intact with higher SLAs while still be able to do research and development in a quicker pace to transform and grow your business. Now moving on, the third scenario is bursting. Now in a lot of cases, the cloud and on-premises are completely two different systems, making it very difficult for customers to kind of leverage them in a seamless manner for building their applications and operationalizing that across on-premises and cloud. But as I mentioned, Microsoft, together with the partnership with Hortonworks, is able to provide this environment which is 100% interoperable between on-premises and cloud. And this provides a seamless mechanism for organizations to run their business, their applications, data processing across on-premises and cloud. And one of the classic examples here is the scenario of a retail customer who is able to leverage the hybrid environments for handling peaks and spikes during holiday season by creating a large number of on-demand Hadoop clusters in the cloud and having their applications operate seamlessly between on-premises and cloud. And again, because these environments are interoperable, there are lots of other interesting scenarios, and customers are getting creative in bursting scenarios. They're able to use this for separating or partitioning their SLA workloads versus non-SLA workloads, or even kind of separating out workloads that require higher frequency that needs to be executed faster compared to the ones that are low frequency. Now with that, let's look into a little bit more details about the Dartmouth-Hitchcock, their problem, and their architecture. Now in the video, you saw that how Dartmouth-Hitchcock is able to transform and reimagine the healthcare in the United States by providing personalized care for their patients. One of the first things that they needed to do was collect data from various devices, from any channels that could help them to get insights out of the patients to provide the richer personalized experience. Once the data is ingested, they're able to leverage the Cortana Intelligence Suite to transform this data, to provide refinement on this data, and be able to modify, aggregate, and perform richer visualization on top of this data. And they're not just able to do this in a batch mode, but they're also able to provide real-time alerts and notifications. One of the challenges they hit down the road is that in some regions, because of regulatory requirements, they could not keep all the sensitive information in the cloud. So they had to start collecting some of these data in these regions where there were regulatory requirements in the on-premises environment and leverage the hybrid ecosystem that Microsoft and Hortonworks provide as part of the Cortana Intelligence Suite to continue providing the best of breed insights and experience to their customers. In the next section of this talk, Hiren is going to walk us through the demo of how Dartmouth-Hitchcock is able to accomplish this. Over to you, Hiren.
Thank you, Anand. So I am going to share a screen because it's time for a demo of the data factory that we built for Dartmouth-Hitchcock's problem. So right now what I'm showing is the data factory that is powering the Dartmouth-Hitchcock scenario. And this is the monitoring and management app of the data factory. I will later on show you some aspects of the authoring of how do you set up such a data factory, especially the part where you connect your on-premises Hadoop to data factory so you can run jobs on-premises as well as in the cloud. But first, I'll walk you to this factory in the monitoring view. The monitoring view of the data factory is for a data factory that's already deployed and you are seeing the executions that either happened in the past or currently are happening. So what do you see here? Just a brief quick recap on Data Factory. Data Factory is a managed service in the cloud for orchestrating and managing your data flows and your data pipelines. What you see here are little boxes. These are your tables. And the bigger boxes are what we call as activities. Activities are your processing steps for your batch pipeline. These are like jobs. So we start with patient profile data on-premises, and the first step is to anonymize that data. So what we are doing here is running a Hive job on-premises to remove the columns that have personal information, and we are producing a data set that does not have those columns. Next step, we are moving that data from on-premises Hadoop to Azure Blob in the cloud. So this is a new activity called Replicate, and this activity allows you to move data from on-premises Hadoop to cloud. And over here we have data coming in, which are health measurements. These are real-time measurements from personal devices the way you saw in the video, which are stored in the blob. And the first thing we are doing is we are partitioning that data into time partition. So over here in this factory, we are processing data every month, but you can very easily do every day or every hour depending on the granularity you need. And what you are seeing in this hover view are the different windows of time for which we have processed the data. As you can see here, the January and February data was successfully processed, but March data had some issue running the job. Moving on, once we have the health measurements and the patient profile data staged in Azure Blob, we are running another Hive job, but this job is now running in the cloud. This job is running a Hive query in a cluster that we have a provision, a Hadoop cluster, in the HD Insight service that Azure provides for managed Hadoop clusters in the cloud. It is merging the two tables and creating a 360 view of the patient. Once you have that 360 view of the patient, we are applying a machine learning model to predict risk for the patient. This machine learning model was trained with historical data about which patients were readmitted and which patients were not, with pre-labeled data from Dartmouth-Hitchcock. And we applied a binary classifier with boosted decision trees. So we have a machine learning experiment. And machine learning, Azure Machine Learning and Data Factory have this great integration where once you have your predictive experiment, you can easily, in the machine learning studio, turn it into a web service. And once you have your web service, Data Factory has this built-in activity to send data in batches at scale to score incoming data against the pre-trained model. So over here, we are sending the data as it is coming in to the model that we train, and the model predicts which patients are at higher risks. And then the last step is to move the prediction results from Azure Blob to Azure SQL so that we can power our application experience, the application Imagine Care experience that you just saw earlier in the presentation. And we are doing that with Data Factory's built-in copy activity. Behind this copy activity is a distributed service that knows how to run data movement jobs across a variety of data sources. So this is the end-to-end flow of the pipeline. As you can see, some jobs we started on premises and then we crossed over into the cloud with the replicate activity. And then we leverage Hadoop in the cloud and machine learning in the cloud. Now, as you can see, you get a single pane of glass. You can see all your jobs that were successful, failed, regardless of whether they ran in the cloud or they ran in the on-premises. You can even, let's suppose you wanted to reprocess the March data because you updated your anonymization step and you were rerunning some past data, you can easily select a specific time period and hit rerun. And when you do that, we should see a new job coming up. This represents the on-premises Hadoop cluster. I'm showing Uzi that is connected to my on-premises Hadoop cluster. What I'm doing is I'm running Hortonworks's sandbox for on-premises Hadoop. And so I'm running that in my VM, and my data factory is connected to that Azure cluster. So I just kicked off a job from Data Factory, which was in the cloud, and it triggered a job on-premises. And this is Uzi, which is an open source orchestration platform to manage jobs in Hadoop. So just going in here, you can see that the job is running. It's in process. The status just changed here. You can click on the job, and you can even see the past runs that the job had. It shows in progress. And you can see, you can get a full history of the job. You can see that some of the runs when I was setting this up had failed. You can click on that and get more information on the reasons why the job had failed. In this case, there was a timeout because the data it was looking for wasn't there. So we'll give this some time. The job will finish and will be successful, and we can see the status change here when that happens. So just going back real quick, maybe refreshing. The job is still running. As you can see, this is running Hive, and it was successful. This is the anonymization step. So giving all jobs, doing a refresh again. So in a little bit, this will go to a completed state. We'll come back to this. Now I want to switch over and show you the authoring piece. How would you set a factory up, a data factory up, so that you can connect to your on-premises cluster? So this is the authoring view of data factory. For those who have used data factory, you can go to the author and deploy tile for the data factory. And this feature that we are showing is in private preview, and I'll provide more information just in the next couple of slides on how you can sign up for the private preview. But once you are enabled for the private preview, you will see this new option here that says new Hadoop cluster. This is the one that you would use to connect to your on-premises Hadoop cluster. So you can give it a name, my team's Hadoop cluster, a unique name for your Hadoop cluster. Similarly, you can give another unique name for the link service. Once you do that, we will automatically create a service bus, Azure service bus namespace for that. And I have already set up this wizard. Once you hit OK on this wizard, which is at the bottom, what happens is we provision in Azure Service Bus a couple of queues, and Data Factory and in the cloud and the on-premises cluster, they both connect to the queue, and that's how they communicate with each other. I'll explain that in a little bit more detail in the slides. But once you've done that, I want to show, so once you hit OK on the wizard, this is what you get, a configuration snippet. This shows the namespace that was created by Data Factory and the two request and response queues and your account key for that request and response queue. So this becomes a secure channel. And now your Data Factory is the one that created this channel. You have to now go to on-premises and tell your Hadoop cluster about this private channel. So we integrate with a component that comes with all Hortonworks Hadoop clusters called Falcon. Falcon is an orchestration component that sits on top of Uzi, and you can take this configuration snippet and change Falcon's properties file, and we have a detailed blog that shows you step-by-step how to do that, and the link to this blog is also in the slide deck. So once you get the configuration, you set up Falcon's property file, you just have to restart Falcon. And at that point, your on-premises cluster and your Data Factory are connected. And then you can create activities that target Hive and Pig jobs that can be run on your Hadoop cluster, just the way I showed earlier. So that concludes showing you both the execution view and the rerunning of jobs, as well as showing you how the one-time setup to connect your Hadoop cluster to cloud works. I'm going to switch back to the slides and show you . So this just goes over what I just kind of explained, how Falcon and Data Factory communicate with each other As I said, there are a couple of queues set up. This is a secure channel. And the way this works is Falcon is reaching out to Data Factory every 10 to 60 seconds, which is configurable in the config files, and looking for requests from Data Factory to run new jobs. So it's sort of a pull from on-premises to the cloud. So the upside of that is you don't have to do any firewall settings because a cloud is not reaching into your on-premises. On-premises is reaching into cloud to pull for job requests and then send the job status. And once Falcon has scheduled your jobs, it can send the request back, the response back. And once your job has finished, as I showed, replication activity can move data to the cloud, and then Data Factory can run jobs in the cloud the way we have been doing. I think, slides on the link to the blog as well as the GitHub sample for how to set up this factory. That's more towards the end. And now we are going to talk a little bit more about, we are going to move over from how to connect your on-premises data source, on-premises Hadoop HDFS, and on-premises jobs to Data Factory. And we are just going to talk about generally about hybrid data integration, a little bit, and some other patterns about that. And Anand is going to take over for that part. So over to you, Anand.
Thanks, Aaron. So far what we looked into is a scenario where customers are leveraging hybrid ecosystem or hybrid infrastructure for kind of data processing and analytics in cases of a data lake which spans on-premises and in the cloud. And this is a great pattern, applies to a wide range of different scenarios, just like what we mentioned. And just to recap about the scenarios, we discussed about backup and archive, we discussed application development, proof of concept, and we also discussed about bursting for handling peaks and spikes. But what we have identified from our discussions with customers is that there are other scenarios which requires hybrid connectivity, but not necessarily in cases of a hybrid data lake. And we kind of classify this as big data analytics or loading your data lake. Now, we have seen a large number of organizations, especially who are trying to modernize their business, they're trying to create a data lake in the cloud. And when I talk about data lake, I'm not talking about the brand Azure Data Lake, but I'm talking about the industry concept data lake, which kind of means that you're creating a single repository of all your data in the rawest format. And this data can be data in the cloud, data from on-premises, data from SaaS systems, etc. So in order to load your data lake, you need to connect to heterogeneous data sources, and a lot of these sources happens to be on-premises. So take your scenario wherein, say, you are getting all your fact data in the cloud, maybe a retail customer who are getting data from their website, their web clicks, but they have their customers, their list of products, regions, locations, etc., managed on-premises. Now, in order to create your data lake and to kind of allow transformation and gain richer insights of this data, you need to get data from all of these data stores, be it on-premises or cloud. So next section of this talk, we are going to look into this particular pattern and how Azure Data Factory, as part of the Cortana Intelligence Suite, is enabling customers to kind of create their data lake in the cloud by connecting to a wide variety of hybrid data sources. Azure Data Factory has a globally deployed data movement service, which enables data movement from a wide variety of sources. We allow data movement currently from about 25 different stores, and these are stores in the cloud within Azure and also from on-premises into Azure. And here we are going to look into how Azure Data Factory enables customers to accomplish this, especially the on-premises aspects. Azure Data Factory provides an agent. It's called Data Management Gateway. And this enables connectivity from on-premises to enable hybrid data pipelines. And you can download the Data Management Gateway, install that, and configure that in your on-premises environment behind firewall. And this works or acts as a secure tunnel for data movement between on-premises and the cloud. And the good thing about the Data Management Gateway is that this is a secure channel. You do not require to open any inbound connections or ports in the firewall. It uses HTTP, HTTPS, and TCP to connect over the wire. And you just need to open outbound ports for TCP. And once you configure that, it acts as a dedicated tunnel. It uses secure channel, and also it performs data encryption during data transit. And beyond that, it also allows to move the data in a reliable and efficient manner. We have auto retry logic. It also enables you to configure timeouts, retries, and enable you to orchestrate and monitor all of these on a cadence in the most efficient manner. And one of the recent updates that we did to the gateway infrastructure enables you to automatically update gateway once it is installed, configured in your on-premises environment. Microsoft and us, our team, we keep updating gateway every month. And whenever there is a new version of the gateway, once you have the gateway installed, we automatically update gateway to the latest version. Obviously, you can configure and you can say that you do not want to get automatic updates, you want to get manual updates. But this scenario is super useful in case of ISVs who are leveraging Cortana Intelligence Suite to power their offering. We have a large number of ISVs who are kind of powered by Cortana Intelligence Suite. They create their SaaS offering, and they also utilize the Data Management Gateway for performing data movement between on-premises and cloud. And now when they are providing their offering, they are having these gateways installed in their customers, they cannot go manually update the gateway. So this capability of auto-updating gateway is super handy in lots of different scenarios, especially in cases of ISVs who are leveraging Cortana Intelligence Suite and powered by Cortana Intelligence Suite for their offering. So what we wanted to do next is show a demo of leveraging the gateway for connecting to on-premises and copying data into Azure. I'm going to share my screen. It's going to take a few seconds before the screen shows up. Kiran, can you see my screen? Okay, I'm assuming everyone can see my screen. So here, this is Azure Data Factory, and this is the Azure portal, just like what Hiren mentioned. And as I mentioned, one of the things that we are doing, or one of the goals of Azure Data Factory, is to enable customers get data from diverse data sets, whether it's unstructured, semi-structured, big, small, into Azure for analytics. We have recently released this tool. It's called Copy Wizard. I am on a data factory, and now I can click on this Copy Wizard, and it shows up something like this. Now, once I have this experience, this enables users to efficiently move data just by following few clicks. Now, I'm on this, and I can see the list of properties. and I can schedule my copy to run just once, or I can run on a schedule. In this case, I'm going to run this on a schedule, and I can provide the recurring pattern of the schedule. I can choose daily, weekly, hourly, monthly, whatever, and I can configure this, the frequency and the period. Now I can also provide the start and end time. In this case, I'm going to leave all of these as the defaults and move next. In this case, I see all the data stores that we support in this experience. As I said, Azure Data Factory supports about 25 different stores. In this experience, we have enabled 11 for the time being, and we are adding new data stores every month. We are adding 4 to 5 data stores every month. And in this case, I'm going to copy data from my on-premises environment. And the scenario here is that I manage the dimension data, like say locations and zip codes, in my on-premises environment. And now I want to bring that into the cloud so that I can marry that with the fact data that comes in the cloud and perform richer processing for advanced analytics. I'm going to select this guy, go next, and here I can provide the credentials to connect to this on-premises environment. I'm going to provide this credentials here. And here you see the gateway. The gateway is already installed and configured in my on-premises environment, so I am able to pick this gateway. If this gateway was not installed, I can click on this link and I can provide the name of the gateway, and I will be able to create the gateway. This is a logical entity. Then install the agent in my on-premises environment and configure that to go online so that I can use that in my data movement experience. In this case, since I already have this, I'm not going to create one. I'm going to leverage this one. And once I do that, when I go next, it is kind of testing the connections based on the credentials that I provided. And once the test connection happens, I can see the list of all tables that are in my on-premises environment. In this case, I have, as I mentioned, there are two reference or dimensional data. One is the reference geocode dictionary, and I can look into see what data it has got, and I can see the preview. And I can also see the schema of this particular data set. In this case, I want to get the zip codes as well, and I can do the same with the zip code. I can see the preview and schema of the zip code. And I see that I want to get both these data sets into Azure. So I'm going to select both of these. And we also enable you to add further filters to these tables that I've selected. In this case, I'm not going to add any filters, but I can also use custom queries on this data set if I want to. Now I click next. At this point in time, my source is configured. Now I want to bring this data into Azure Blob Storage. I can also ingest this data into Azure Data Lake or Azure SQL Data Warehouse or Azure SQL Database. In this case, I'll just pick Azure Blob Storage. Go next. At this point in time, it's attempting to enumerate list of all storage accounts that are in my subscription. And I'm using my demo subscription, so there are hundreds of storage accounts in this, so it's going to take a few seconds to load the storage accounts. And you see here, there are like many of these guys here. I'm going to pick one of the storage accounts. And I'm going to pick one of these here. Go next. In this case, I'm able to browse the storage, just like Windows File Explorer. I can browse this, I can pick a folder, and I'm going to choose this. And just add demo here. I'm going to leave the file name as blank and go next. I can add additional file format settings. In this case, I can choose to have my file ingested into in text format or AVRO format. I can provide the row delimiters, column delimiters, and I can also configure advanced setting. One interesting thing here is compression. If I want to get this data in a compressed form, BZIP, DFLATE, or GZIP, I can select that. In this case, I'm going to just leave the default options and move next. At this point in time, all my configuration is done, And I can see the configurations here. I can see my source here is on-premises, and my destination is Azure Blob Storage. And the copy runtime is the gateway that we just discussed. So the copy, the entire copy operation is happening through the gateway. The gateway is configured in my enterprise environment, and the gateway can connect to the SQL Server to copy the data into Azure. And here you can see that there are some interesting settings. I can configure the retry, the concurrency, the timeout, and all of these guys that kind of governs the execution of this copy. And when I hit finish, it's going to go deploy this pipeline into Azure Data Factory and create all the associated entities. Once the pipeline is deployed, I can go into the monitoring experience to monitor and manage this pipeline. So in this way, what we showed just now, it's going to take like a few seconds to deploy this pipeline, but in essence, what we showed is how customers can leverage this rich experience to interactively create their copy pipelines from either cloud or from on-premises and create a data lake in Azure so that they can leverage the rich set of data for advanced analytics and machine learning. Over to you, Hiren.
Thank you, Anand. So it was good to see a demo of the new visual copy tool. It's very popular. Our customers love it. Next up is just a quick view into overall Cortana Intelligence Suite. Because Data Factory, what we are showing is a part of the overall suite. Over here, you know, you have applications coming in, sending data from all sorts of different sources. And you have various options to ingest and manage that information and do data management. We just showed you Azure Data Factory, which is a great tool for batch processing of the information, and based on the questions I see coming in, we'll spend some more time on Q&A, but Azure Data Factory is a batch processing system, so the minimum frequency we support for recurring jobs is 15 minutes. So this is sort of your cold path in a Lambda architecture. For your hot path ingestion, where you're looking for real-time, near real-time ingestion in a streaming fashion, we have Azure Event Hub for ingestion, and then we have Azure Stream Analytics to run jobs on the streaming data and produce near real-time anomaly detection and alerting. We have Azure Data Catalog to manage and do data governance and data discovery. We showed you the Azure HD Insight in action with the demo that we showed, and that's the managed Hadoop service in the cloud. We have a new big data processing system as well, Azure Data Lake as the data store, and Azure Data Lake the analytics service. And this service, the way it is different from the HD Insight services, with HD Insight you need to have pre-provisioned clusters with a specific cluster size. With Azure Data Lake Analytics, all you do is you submit your job and we figure out the required scale for the job to run. And that's a kind of a different model, a useful model for customers who are not looking to do a whole lot of cluster management. We have Azure SQL Data Warehouse in the cloud. We showed you Azure Machine Learning in action in this use case as well. So that kind of shows you the kind of different services in Cortana Intelligence Suite and what kind of you would use where. Very briefly, I can't go in too much detail there, but hopefully it gives you some ideas on how different things are coming together. So moving on to the next slide, a recap slide. We showed you Hybrid Hadoop feature, which is in private preview. If you are interested in leveraging this feature, trying it out. You can fill out a survey, as well as our Anand and my emails are coming up next. This is my email. You can note it down. It's also on the next screen, and you can send us a note if you once you fill out the survey ask us to let you in to try out the preview feature. The link for the blog post that I was showing and the GitHub sample are also on this slide, so you can check that out. And that concludes most of the presentation for today, and we are now getting into Q&A. Here are our emails real quick. And what I'm going to do now is maybe spend some time while Anand is busy answering your questions. Anand can answer your questions, so please continue sending your questions. I will try to run through some of the ones that a lot of customers have asked that are repeats and can benefit a lot of the customers. So one question was, is Oracle supported as an on-premises data source in the copy wizard that Anand showed? The answer is yes. It is one of the sources that is supported. And the other question, which I kind of started alluding to, is the real-timeness of Data Factory as a service. It is a batch execution service. It is not a near real-time processing system. As I mentioned in the Cortana Analytics Suite slide, if you need a near real-time hard path is what we call in a classic Lambda architecture, we suggest you look at Event Hub for data ingestion and then looking at technologies like Azure Stream Analytics and potentially technologies like Apache Storm on HD Insight or Spark Streaming with HD Insight. Those are all streaming technologies that are supported in the cloud that you can use to process your streaming jobs. Another question that we often hear is, this is a general feedback on ADF. ADF has some catching up to do on the richness of ETL tools like SSIS and Informatica. What is the roadmap or the tools that can be used for ETL? So two aspects of the richness that is my guess based on talking to a lot of customers who have similar feedback. One is sort of making authoring easier with a drag and drop authoring experience. And we are already working on that, as you see, with the copy wizard. That was our first step towards that. You can expect us applying that similar level of richness of authoring to the rest of Data Factory. So you should expect Data Factory to become much, much easier to use very soon. We are quickly following that up with more authoring improvements. So that's one aspect of richness that when you look at tools like SSIS and Informatica that they have. The second aspect of richness is sort of flexibility in terms of different control knobs, different ways of triggering pipelines, whether it's running it one time or running it on a schedule or triggering it with an event, as well as things like how to connect activities with each other, how to group activities, how to do error handling, have paths in the pipeline that are all about handling specific failures. So we are well aware of modeling these patterns and the flexibility that customers need, and we are hard at work on that front as well. I cannot share timelines and stuff, but I can confirm that we are very well aware of the needs of the customers there, and you should see improvements in those areas as well. So the short answer is you should expect ADF to improve the richness that it provides in the near future. And another question, we already explained what hybrid Hadoop is. The slides will be available, I think, I believe 48 hours slide and the recording will be available 48 hours after the webinar finishes. And Rahi can confirm that. And that's correct, Rahi, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, good. And those are most of the high priority questions that I see, which are sort of beneficial to everyone. Anand, are there any questions that you see that will benefit the group?
Yeah, I think there was one question that I just answered on how do you use ADF to re-execute a failed run. So I think, Hiren, you already covered that in the demo, but just to reiterate on that, ADF provides richer monitoring and management capabilities. You can use the single pane of glass to kind of monitor, manage your executions. In case there is a failed execution, you can look into the exact window of data where the failure happened, and you can rerun the execution for that particular window of data. And this is very powerful, especially in big data scenarios, because you do not want to re-execute and reprocess terabytes of data. You want to pinpoint where the failure happened and rerun only that window of data. So with Azure Data Factory, you can absolutely accomplish that. There are lots of documentation in our portal. You can take a look to see how you can accomplish any of those tasks. And everything that you can do in the ADF UI, you can also do that programmatically through our APIs. Yeah, there was a couple of questions on whether ADF can be used to move data into mainland China, and I just responded to them. ADF is not yet certified for China. There are a bunch of compliance and regulatory requirements for China. ADF is not yet certified for China. In theory, you can do it, but we are not yet compliant and certified.
And I might have given kind of an incorrect answer on that. I already kind of answered that. And like I said, I think I was commenting more on the fact that our tools will allow you to do that, not so much the compliance side of things.
Okay, I'm seeing another question. Can we edit? Yeah, go ahead.
Rahi, what can we sit and answer these questions after 11 as well? There are more questions coming in. What is the best way to handle? I think we are now finishing the presentation and reading out some of the higher priority question. How should we approach the remaining questions and as they are coming in?
We actually won't be able to address any questions after the session is ended. If people have further questions that they'd like to get answered, you can have them email you.
Okay, so as everyone heard, our emails are still, I believe, showing up. So we recommend that if you don't already see your question answer, start sending them via email now because we'll be finishing the session soon.
Okay, if that's it for questions, just as a reminder, we will be sending out the slides and a recording of the session within 48 hours. And I will be putting up a few poll questions on the slides that if you take a moment to leave any feedback, it helps us to make the webinars more effective. Thank you, everyone, for joining us, and have a great day.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.